All right, would you guys help welcome Mr. Pastor James Hoagland up here to give us the word, man of God. Hallelujah.
Whew, church. Golly. I think we could just do an altar call now. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to begin now. I got wrecked over there. I mean, I just got wrecked. You know, I was telling somebody earlier, I remember you walking into the Cross Connect, and actually it was Bubba's Bible study, and you were sitting back there in the back there in the kitchen, and I seen you just taking notes, and you're just listening, you're just taking notes and stuff, and I'm like, oh, God's working on him. God's working on him. God's going to do some things in your life, man. And I don't know about you, but I am just so grateful that we get to do what we do. I mean, it is overwhelming. Because I know some of your past. You probably don't know a lot of my past, but I am just so thankful that I get to stand up here. I get to stand up here and read God's word. And it is just, it's just overwhelming. It is overwhelming. Overwhelming. You know, we recently took a trip to the Philippines, and they're just different over there, right? They're just a little different over there, but what really stood out the most to me is that these people had, I mean, we went to some of the poorest of the poor, and, you know, they had nothing, but what they did have was Jesus Christ. Amen. And that literally has changed everything in their life. Yeah. You know, they had such a peace about them. I mean, a peace about them that surpassed all understanding, right? And so whenever we got back here to the States, and of course, yesterday was such a day of celebration, right? Because probably a lot of us didn't get a lot of sleep because of all the booming and the banging that went on. But I've noticed that, man, we're just such an angry bunch sometimes. So easily how we can lose this peace. And so that's what I really want to preach about this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We'll start at verse 35. Whew, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, Lord, you're so good. If you found it, say amen. Amen. If you're still looking for it, say amen. Amen. We're going to go on anyway. All right, it says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Come on, right? Woo! You know, so like I said, you know, today I really want to preach to you about this word peace, right? Not a fake peace, not this fragile kind of peace, right? Not even a temporary peace, because even yesterday, right, I'm mowing my yard and my mower broke and all of a sudden I lost the peace that I had, right? Because I didn't want to mow in the first place, but my wife was like, hey, we need to mow the yard, and I, you know, that cost a whole thing. But listen, I mean I don't want to talk about this peace that depends on if we have a good week, right? Or if we're just in a good mood, or if we get some kind of good report, or maybe our bank account actually has a couple of dollars in it, right? Or maybe people just around you are being good to you. No, I want to preach about the kind of peace that holds us together when life is trying to literally pull you apart. You know, because, listen, if I tell you the truth, people are just tired. Aren't they? People are tired. I mean, they're tired mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and they're just tired of carrying this pressure of life. Maybe you're just tired of carrying some grief or some uncertainty in your life, tired of fighting battles that they don't even know how to explain it. Listen, some people are not loud about it either, right? But you know that they're just tired. Some people, they don't cry in public about about how overwhelmed they are, but literally in private, they are bleeding to death. You know, listen, some people are still showing up. Maybe you even showed up this morning, right, with a smile on your face, ready to serve, right, still functioning, but inside you're crying for this peace of God. Listen, and we live in a world that knows how to distract people. Am I right? We knows, but listen, they can distract people, but they cannot heal people. Church, this world knows how to entertain you, right? It does, but it never will ever be able to settle your soul. Listen, I know, right, that this world can stimulate our mind, but it will never be able to quiet the spirit that lives inside of us. Listen, it knows how to keep us busy, but listen, you do not have to just to think about this, right? Because church, right, when the room goes quiet, right? Finally, when you get home and things get quiet and you set this stupid cell phone down, right? And when the music stops and when the conversation stops, listen, many people are literally left alone in their storm. And maybe some people walked in here this morning, right, that has a storm brewing in their life. You know, maybe it's just a story in your mind. Maybe it's a story in your home or in your body even, or relationships or just emotions, right? Maybe it's just in those hidden places that nobody knows about but you and God. But church, the beautiful thing about the Bible, that it does not pretend that these storms are not real. Am I right? Listen, the Bible does not give us this plastic people with this plastic faith, with these plastic battles, right? The Bible gives us real trouble, right? People that are in real trouble, that are going through real fears in their life, right? That have real questions. But thankfully, there is a real Savior, right? And they know the truth. That is what Mark 4 gives us. It gives us men who are with Jesus, but guess what? They're still afraid, right? Men who are following Jesus, but are still shaken. Men who are literally in the will of God, but still going through these storms. Listen, this ought to encourage somebody here today, right? Because it means your storm is not a proof. It's not proof that God has abandoned you. You know, you can be saved, listen, and still struggle, right? You can have faith and still feel pressure. You can love Jesus, right? And still, these nights sometimes feel very long. But the good news of the text this morning is that, guess what? The storms are real, but Jesus is present. Amen. Am I thinking right? Hallelujah. Listen, and if Jesus is present, right, guess what? Panic does not get the final word in your life, right? If Jesus is present, right? Oh, my gosh, if Jesus is present, you know, these winds, these storms, they will not decide your ending. You know, so let's walk through this text. And I'm going to give you, taking notes, and yeah, I'm going to give you hopefully 3, 4, no more than 10 truths about this, right, about peace. But no, I've never been long-winded. I'm not like your pastor. But it's all good. It's all good. I can do that because, you know, I can leave. You know, but listen, point number one, right, peace is not given by the absence of storms. No, so let's go back to verse 35. It says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. That line matters more than we usually think, right? Because Jesus literally gave the instruction, right? Jesus initiated this trip that they were going to be put on, right? Yeah. Jesus says, hey, let's go, right? Let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side. Amen. That means the disciples in the boat are obeying him. You understand? They are obeying what Jesus said. They didn't end up in trouble because they were rebellious, right? They didn't end up in trouble because they had somehow missed the voice of God. Yeah. No, right? They got in the boat because Jesus told them to get in the boat, right? Listen, you know, that means we need to break this lie that sometimes that we believe that says that, hey, if you're in the will of God, you're never, ever going to face resistance, right? No. Sometimes the storm meets you in a place of obedience, right? Sometimes, right, you obey God, and guess what? Your marriage can still be hard. Sometimes you can obey God, and your emotions still get tested. Sometimes you can obey God, and your body still feels weak. Listen, they are believers who secretly think that, man, as long as I'm walking with God, right, these seasons will never be difficult. Oh, I wish that was true, church. I wish that was true. But, church, it is not. It's not always disobedience, right? Pressure is not always punishment. Storms is not always just because you missed something from God, right? And I think somebody needs to hear that, because maybe you're just misreading the season that you're in. Maybe that you've been taking this the presence of a storm as evidence that God is displeased with you. You know, listen, maybe you're just, you're looking at all this shaking that's going on in your life and just assuming something must be wrong with your faith. Maybe you're thinking that something is wrong with your walk or something's wrong with your obedience. But the text says otherwise. The text says you can be in the right boat. You can be on the right assignment given to you by the Savior, right? You can be with the right Savior and still, right? These storms are going to hit your life. Listen, I've been married 33 years, right? And, yeah, trust me. Oh, woo, it feels longer, right? It feels a little longer sometimes, right? Listen, I wish that we've never had problems, right? Oh, you know, I've never had a problem, but evidently she's had problems. But, and it's just because of me, church. It's just because of me. Yeah, but listen. Yeah, whoever's ever been on an airplane? All right. Oh, my goodness. Right. You ever been on turbulence? When turbulence kind of hits that airplane? Woo, sisters. Oh, my gosh. I thought I was a manly man until I that first time that ever hit. But, you know, everything seems normal at first, right? I mean, people are all relaxed and they're all just, some of them are sleeping, some of them are reading, some of them are eating those weird little cookies that they give you that are, you know what I mean? Those weird cookies, you know, are they graham crackers? We don't know what they are, but we eat them because they're free, right? We're going to eat them. But listen, we're just acting like we own the skies when we're up there, right? Everything is good. But then all of a sudden, the plane starts to shake. Right? I mean, the seatbelt sign comes on and the pilot starts making that announcement, right? The air gets a little rough and instantly the atmosphere changes on that plane. Am I right? I mean, people start gripping the armrest. Christy will grab my arm, you know? I mean, it's probably the other way around. I'm grabbing her arm. She's like, Jesus, take me home. But listen, people stop. They stop talking and maybe some of them start praying prayers that they haven't prayed in years, right?
Yeah.
But one of the things that calms people is that they start looking around, right? And they see these flight attendants, and they're not panicking, right? They're steady. They're composed. And why is that? Because they know shaking does not always mean that they're going to crash, right? Turbulence does not mean this plane is always going to fall out of the sky, right? You know, I really believe that I came here today to tell somebody just because your life is shaking does not mean that your life is sinking.
Hallelujah.
You understand? Just because there's winds are so strong does not mean that these promises of God have been canceled on your life. Right? Just because these waves seem so high does not mean the word of God has failed you. Listen, some turbulence is just part of traveling to the other side. You understand that? Church, when things are shaking like that in your life, who knows? God has what has in store for you on the other side of that turbulence. Man, I wish I could tell you that if you follow Jesus, that you would never have a bad season. Oh, I wish I could tell you. Or I wish I could tell you that just obedience would remove the battles. Or I wish I could tell you that prayer just exempts you from pain. But that would not be scripture, because the truth is storms come. Storms come to the faithful and to the weary and to the growing and to the obedient. It rains on the just and the unjust, right? You know, storms come to people who still even carry the word of God. Am I right? You know, but here's the difference if you are a child of God, right? The storms may come, but they do not come with this ultimate authority in your life, right? Because the storms, you know, but before the storms ever showed up, Jesus has already says, hey, go to the other side, right? You know, that means the storm was never more authoritative than his word. You know, the storm was never stronger than his intention. The storm was never in charge of your outcome.
Amen.
Church, hear me. If God has spoken over your life, And we all know that you know the moment, right, when God has spoken in your life. Listen, the storm in the middle cannot cancel the word at the beginning of that, you know? So peace is not absent of the storm. Listen, peace is confident, right, that while the storm is happening, God is still faithful in your life, right? Peace is confident that while the wind is blowing, God is still speaking, right? Listen. Peace is confident that while the boat is rocking, God has never changed his mind about you. He has loved you from the very beginning of time. Listen, you can be under pressure, but still be under his promise. Listen, and if all you get from this first point is this one line, I want you to write this down. The waves may be loud, but they are not Lord. They are not Lord of your life. Point number two. Peace is threatened when fear distorts your view of the Lord. Look at verse 38. It says, but he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and says, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Man, is that one of the most honest sentences you've ever read in Scripture? I mean, really. I mean, it's messy. This statement is emotional. It's fearful. It's even accusing, even, right? And if we're honest, oh, that is human, right? Isn't that the most human thing that you've ever read? Listen, do you care? They're asking, right? That is what fear sounds like, church. You know, when it's left completely unchecked. Notice, right? They did not simply. When they woke him up, ask him for help. No, they literally questioned Jesus' heart. Yeah, they did. You know, they didn't say, Lord, save us. They said, hey, you know, don't you care about us? Don't you remember us? Listen, fear will do that to you, church. Fear does not, just magnify the storm. Fear starts whispering lies about the character of God. You know, fear starts talking about, what you can't explain, right? And turns it into this suspicion. You know, fear starts preaching messages like, hey, you know, if God really loved you, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through right now, right? If God really cared about you, listen, he would have moved you out of this storm by now, right? If God is really with you, you wouldn't feel this lonely. Yeah. And church, before long, you keep listening to this lie. Fear has not only filled your mind with anxiety, but it literally distorts your vision of God. Just think about a child in a hospital room, right? This child, he doesn't understand this medical language, right? He doesn't understand the charts or the paperwork or the delays or the whispering of conversations or the movements of nurses and doctors and all these sounds of these machines, right? And all the child is knowing at the moment is how uncomfortable, how serious this moment feels, right? How uncertain this is. And if that child sits there alone, fear starts to fill in the blank. Just, you know, I'm sure that their imagination starts running wild and it just feels longer and the silence just gets heavier and heavier. But church, if a loving parent sits beside this child and takes their hand, something changes. Listen, the room doesn't change, right? The waiting doesn't change. The uncertainty doesn't change. But the child feels safer because of who is present. That is the issue in our text. The disciples had the right person in the boat, but they let the storms talk louder than his presence. You understand? And many of us have done the same thing, right? We've let maybe this diagnosis speak louder than his promise, right? Yeah. We've let this disappointment talk louder than his faithfulness in our lives, right? We've let delay, right? We've let delay talk louder than his love for us, right? And then we start asking, Lord, don't you care? Because we've said it, haven't we, church? Hear me carefully. You know, God's silence is not God's absence in your life. Just because he hasn't spoken it does not mean that he stepped away from your life. Just because he hasn't moved on your timeline does not mean he stopped caring about you. Just because you don't understand what he's doing does not mean he's not doing anything. Listen, Jesus was asleep, but he was still in the boat.
Listen,
Jesus was quiet, but he was still present with the disciples. Jesus had not intervened yet, but he, I promise you, was still fully aware of what was going on. Listen, he was sleeping, right? I just think that's the most beautiful thing there is, right? Knowing how powerful he is, he didn't care about what was going on around him. And maybe, I need to say this to somebody whose faith has maybe been bruised by some delay in your life. Do not let the quiet season that's going on in your life right now make you rewrite the heart of God. Do not let one painful chapter make you decide that God is no longer good. Do not let these unanswered questions turn into unbelief in your life. Do not let this temporary confusion become this permanent weird theology that Satan wants you to believe. Because the truth is, his character has not changed. His character has not... He still cares about you. He still sees you. He still knows you. And I promise you, he loves you because he sent his son to die for you. He still remembers you, and he will still keep his covenant over you. And he still watches over you. Church, notice this. Even though their words were mixed with this fear and accusations, right? Jesus still responds, right? That encourages me. Because it means that your prayer does not have to be polished, right, for God to hear it, right? It means your faith does not have to be flawless, right, for Jesus to literally move toward you. It means you can panic sometimes, right? You can be emotional sometimes. You can be exhausted sometimes. You can be confused, and yet God still will show you mercy, right? Maybe somebody in here, maybe you've just been ashamed of how you're weak. How you've handled your week, right? Come on. Maybe you're ashamed of your thoughts. Maybe you're ashamed of maybe you've had some fears. Maybe you've shamed just how you've just not handled this season very well. But look at the disciples. This was not a very noble moment for them. They were scared. And Jesus still meets them right where they're at and deals with them, right? He is merciful, right, even for frightened people. Yep. He is gentle even with some trembling hearts.
Yes.
And he is patient with imperfect faith.
That's right.
Right? But church, he does not want us to stay in this distorted view of him, right? Fear says the storm is big. So maybe God is so far away, but faith is, no, God is near, so the storm can't have the final word in your life, right? Fear says, I do not know what's happening, so God must abandon me. But faith says, I do not know what's happening, but I know who has my hands. Church, hear me. Peace begins to return when we stop asking the storm to explain God. You know, do not let the storm preach louder than Scripture in your life, right? Do not let pain tell you who God is. Do not let fear define your heart. Listen, because I promise you, Jesus still cares. He still cares. He still cares about you, church. And again, if you don't get anything from that point, hear this. His silence is not rejection. His delay is not indifference. God loves you.
Amen.
He loves you.
Hallelujah.
Point number three, peace comes when Jesus speaks over what is out of control. Verse 39, it says, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm, the scripture says. This is one of the most powerful scenes in all of gospel, right? Jesus is, he stands up in the middle, right, of this literally what was terrifying these seasoned fishermen, that knew how the lake was, right? And he looks at the wind and he addresses the waves and he says, peace, be still. Listen here, 2 or 3 4th of July's ago, I thought, oh, it'd be great to take my wife out on a boat ride, you know, and we'll watch the fireworks from the boat. It'd be so romantic. I might get a kiss on the cheek, you know. I did all these things for the kiss, but anyway. But we get out there, right, and one of those little microbursts like we had yesterday come through. I thought I was going to die. I thought, this is it, right? It was raining so hard. It was thundering. It was lightning. Waves were coming up over into the boat. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs, peace, be still, right? I looked over at my wife and I thought, this is it. We're going to Jesus right now, you know? It was terrifying. But listen, Jesus, he literally, because she knows, she thought, of course, she was like, I love it. This is awesome. You know, and I'm just scared to death. She's a thrill junkie. That's a sermon for a different day. But listen, creation obeyed him. You get that? It obeyed him. Just think about that. The storm that was overrunning the disciples, right, was literally overruled by Jesus. The chaos that literally had taken over this boat, right, literally had to bow to his voice. That means what is out of your control is still under his authority, church. Because there are seasons, church, Listen, we all have had those seasons where we just can't fix what's happening in our lives. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, listen, you cannot make people act right around you, right? You can't make you cannot make grief leave on command. You can't make anxiety disappear on your own effort. You cannot make your financial problems just evaporate overnight. You can't force an answer out of heaven just because you're just tired of waiting on it. But church, There are some things that are just beyond your management. Some things that are beyond your power. Some things beyond your reach. But they are never beyond his authority.
Amen.
His authority. Again, I just love kids, but just think about a little child waking up in the middle of the night, right? In a dark room. You know, shadows are still there. The child is crying. You know, they're breathing hard. They're just afraid of something they think they might have saw, you know. Then the mother walks in because the dad wants to sleep. But the mom walks in, and we're being real, right, man? The mom walks in and says, I'm here, right? I'm here. You're okay. You can go back to sleep. Again, right, the room hasn't changed. The darkness is still there. But the child begins to settle because the peace came through a trusted voice.
Amen.
A trusted voice. Church, that is the voice of Jesus. That's what Jesus does in our life. That's why we need to know what his voice sounds like.
Amen.
Sometimes peace does not begin with this a change of an environment, right? Sometimes peace begins with a superior voice has entered into the environment. And that is why the Word of God matters so much in our stormy seasons, right? Because the storm has a voice too. Am I right?
Yeah.
You know, the storm says, hey, you're going under, right? That you're way too damaged to go on now. You're never going to change. Anybody ever heard that?
Yeah.
That you're all by yourself. And you're just going to have to go through this all by yourself. And somehow, you know, your story is going to end right here. But when Jesus speaks, church, every lie stops, right? It stops because when Jesus speaks, fear no longer is the loudest voice in your head, right? When Jesus speaks, confusion is no longer what leads you. When Jesus speaks, chaos is reminded of its limits. When Jesus speaks, panic literally loses its throne on your life. Church, that is why some of us do not need more advice. We need literally his voice in our lives. We don't need any more distractions. We need his voice. We don't need another coping strategy. We need his voice in our lives. We need the word of the Lord over our homes, over our minds, over our children, over our future, over our exhaustion of the week, right? The word of the Lord over areas where literally we feel powerless. And if I could push just a little bit further, sometimes the first storm that Jesus comes, it's not the ones that are around us. It's the ones that's inside of us. Sometimes the bills are still there, right? But the soul is steady, right? Sometimes the diagnosis, right, is still there, but it's no longer on the fronts of our minds because Jesus is. Sometimes the answer hasn't arrived, but thankfully grace has.
Amen.
Because peace is not merely is what happening on the outside. Peace is literally spiritual. And maybe somebody needs to be praying maybe some bold prayers in their life. Maybe you need to be saying, Lord, speak over me. Lord, speak over these storms. Speak over my anxiety and my heaviness and my family trouble. Speak over things that are out of my control.
Hallelujah.
Because church, one word from Jesus can do what months of striving will not do in your life.
Hallelujah.
One word can bring the strength back to some weak knees in your life. One word can break the suffocating power of fear.
Amen.
Church, lift your eyes above the storm that you see.
Amen.
And look at the Savior.
Praise God.
The same Jesus who calmed that sea still rules today.
Amen.
The same Jesus who silenced the chaos in the disciples' lives still has authority today.
Praise God.
And when He speaks, everything that has been screaming around you has to remember who is still Lord.
Amen.
When Jesus speaks, chaos loses the right again to lead your life.
Thank you, Father God.
Point number four. Peace grows when we trust the person of Jesus more deeply.
Amen.
Verse 40, again, it says, He said to His disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? In verse 41, it says, And they were terrified and asked each other, Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey Him. You know, at first, right, they were afraid of the storms. Then Jesus calmed the storms, and now they're literally overwhelmed by Him, right? That shift is important because the deepest peace does not come from simply getting a better circumstance, right? The deepest peace comes from seeing Jesus more clearly in your life, right? The disciples, they asked the right question, right? Who is this? Who is this? That is the main question of this text. Who is this man who can speak to the weather and it obeys? Who is this man who can stand in chaos and remain unshaken?
Amen.
Who is this man whose word has more authority than the forces that terrify us? And the answer is, this is no ordinary teacher, right? This is the Son of God, right? He is the Lord over creation. He is the master over the wind and the waves, right? He is greater than what threatens us, church. He is stronger than what has been shaking our lives.
Amen.
And here's the lesson. Peace grows as revelation grows in your life.
Hallelujah.
When Jesus is small in your eyes, church, fear becomes way bigger in your heart. But when Jesus becomes glorious, when He becomes holy, when He becomes strong and sovereign in your eyes, peace begins to take root in your spirit. Listen, Jesus says, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? He's not merely correcting their feelings. He's calling them literally to this higher trust in Him. Because peace is literally tied to trust. Right? It's like riding in the passenger seat, right? Everybody likes riding in a car in the passenger seat, right? Everybody, right? Me and my wife just had this conversation yesterday. Listen, if you trust the driver, I need to put that in quotations. If you trust the driver, you can settle in, right? You can relax. You can rest. You don't have to worry about the next turn, right? Every break, every lane. But if you are riding somebody who you don't trust, right, the whole experience changes, right? Your body gets a little tighter, right? Your hands start reaching for the dashboard. Your foot is pressing on that imaginary brake, right? Your eyes are this big, right? My wife's like, that car's getting close. That car's getting close. And why is that? Because where trust is weak, tension will grow in your life. And church, that is how some believers are living with God. You are in the passenger seat, right? But you're still trying to drive. You've handed God your life in words, right? But not in practice. You say, Lord, I trust you. But hey, let me drive every 2 or 3 minutes, right? You're trying to control the timeline, right? You're trying to control the outcome. You're trying to control people around you, the process around you. And the reason peace is thin is because control and peace do not live well together. Peace grows where surrender is practiced in your life. You cannot control the outcome. You can't. You can't control every person. You cannot control open doors or shut doors. You can't control every report, every test, every season, every delay. But you can trust the one who have seen it from the very beginning of time. And trust is not pretending everything feels easy. Trust is saying, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand what's going on in my life. But I still place myself in your hands. You know, trust says, Lord, I do not like the season that I'm in, but I trust that it is for my good. Lord, that I am tired, but I trust, right? That I'm hurting, but I trust. Lord, I can't see what you're doing, but I know that you're doing, right? Church, he is too wise to make a mistake, all right? He is too wise to make a mistake. He is too loving to forsake you. He is too strong to be defeated. And he is too faithful to fail you. He is too present to forget where you're at. He's in the boat with you, church. Maybe some of you are just exhausted because you're trying to carry the weight that God never intended you to carry. You were never meant to be your own Savior. You were never meant to be your own source of peace. You were never meant to be strong enough to hold your whole story together by yourself. That burden is too heavy for these human shoulders, right? But when Jesus, right, you can trust him. When you start trusting him more deeply, peace starts to enter in places that has been so tight for so long, right? Your chest starts to loosen up, right? Your heart starts to steady. Your mind starts to exhale. Listen, your soul stops running in these circles. Why? Because peace is not found in having control. Peace is found in the one knowing who does have control. And more clearly, when you start seeing Jesus, less fear will start ruling your life. You know, stop staring only at the waves, church. Stop looking at those waves. Lift your eyes to the ones who literally commands those waves, right? Stop magnifying the storm that you're in and magnify the Savior that can save you from these storms. Let this truth settle over you. Peace is not found in mastering your life. Peace is found in surrendering to Christ.
Hallelujah. Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Amen.
If I could have the worship team come on up. Maybe there's some people in this room right now who need to hear this personally. Maybe you just need peace that only Christ can give you. Maybe some of you, again, have been fighting this anxiety. Maybe you've been fighting grief for are just worrying yourself sick. Maybe you've been dealing with a fear that nobody, even the person sitting right next to you, doesn't even know about. Church, it's time to stop pretending. Amen. Stop putting on a church face when you walk in here. And bow down to the one who can literally give you this peace. Listen, Jesus is still in your boat. He's got the people around you may be so frightened. They may be, maybe you're so scared. Maybe you feel like you're so broken. Maybe you feel like it's just too late. Maybe you feel like you're beyond this peace that me and the pastor probably have talked about multiple times. But peace will not come with you pretending that you're not in a storm. Peace comes when you literally bring this storm to Jesus. And maybe there's some here, right, who do not simply need the peace in your mind, but you need peace with God. Maybe you've never asked Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life and truly sell out to Him. I promise you, it's a hard ride, but it is the best ride you've ever been on. He will change your life forever. Listen, the deepest peace, again, is in this reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ. Listen, sin separates us from God, right? We can't fix this separation by religion, by good behavior, by trying harder. But Jesus, He came for us. He lived a life we couldn't live. He died a death that we don't deserve. And He rose again in victory, so that one day we might be able to spend eternity with Him. That will give you true peace. I love you, church. The altar's open.